Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to the light of your word and open our hearts to your wonderful love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a listen to this verse from our first reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Old things have passed away, everything is made new. What a wonderful verse. What a powerful thought. A few years ago, I was very involved in pastoral work among university students. And in one of the group houses that I used to visit lived a mature student from Greece. Michali was his name. He was nominally a Greek Orthodox, though not a church-going one. I got to know Michali over a year or so, and I told him of my love and enthusiasm for Eastern Orthodoxy. It would be great to pray together sometime, I said. And Michali agreed, in the interest of good ecumenical relations. So we found a time. And I took along my interlinear Bible. Now, my interlinear Bible shows the original Greek text and the variations according to the source manuscripts, along with two English translations side by side, so you can see what's happening. Michali pulled out his Bible, which was in modern Greek. So we were pretty well equipped. I pointed to the verse that we just read. How does 2 Corinthians 5:17 read in modern Greek? I asked him. And so he read it. That's interesting, he said. What do you think that means? And so we had a conversation. I likened the experience of coming into Christ, in the way the verse references, to taking a walk in an area of high radiation. Stick with me. I said, you may come home thinking nothing has changed, but in fact, your DNA has just been reprogrammed. What you will become has just been altered. And as the months and years go by, symptoms will emerge in evidence of something profound having changed. Coming into Christ, I told him, was a bit like that for me, but in a positive way. And I said, I think that's the sort of thing the verse is talking about. Well, we did the same with a verse that we read here in church a couple of weeks ago, a verse from John's Gospel, where Jesus again describes a change so profound that he likens it to being reborn. No one can see the kingdom of God, says Jesus, without being born from above. And we read on to the rather famous verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we looked in the modern Greek of Michali's Bible, the New Testament Greek of the source texts, and the English versions too, and then we prayed a simple prayer. We prayed that these verses would become more real to us, that God would make them so. Well, I didn't see Michali for another couple of weeks, but a fortnight or so later, I did run into two of his housemates. Have you seen Michali recently? They asked. Something's happened to him, they said. And they began to tell me of a wonderful change in Michali's life. A change like an infusion of joy. Like a change of mind and heart, like a spiritual waking up. And so it was that something new had begun in Michali's life. Now, all we did was to read two passages of Scripture. How had that caused this? Well, Jesus himself gives something of an explanation. Jesus himself gives the explanation in the gospel that we heard read. Mark reminds us that Jesus liked to intrigue people, that Jesus taught cryptically with parables and images. Helpfully, Mark tells us elsewhere that when Jesus talks about seed, he is referring to his teaching. When he talks about seed, he's referring to his words, the gospel message. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like when a man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. He doesn't know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow. And when it is ripe, he'll go in with his sickle because the harvest has come. I think that's what happened to Michali. The seed had sprouted. Those texts containing words from God have a power all their own. Like a seed, they have life in them. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." During the week, we mark St. Columba's Day. Now, if you're not familiar with Columba, he was part of a movement of Irish Christians who back in the 500s AD looked across the sea to England, which was the murder capital of the Europe of the Dark Ages. Not an attractive place to relocate to, but this is what they did, crossing the sea and establishing monastic farms. Columba and his followers followed the same pattern. Columba founded his community in Iona, and his spiritual follower, Aidan, founded one in Lindisfarne. The model that these Celtic apostles followed was to establish a small farm and recruit a band of 12 young men to farm it together. The attraction to the families who provided the intake was that their youngsters would get an education, that they would be taught to read and write. So they were taught to read the Psalms and the Gospels. Those were the literacy texts. Taught to read the Psalms and the Gospels and to write them out and to love them and emulate them. Their lives were so radicalized by this immersion in these texts of Scripture, so empowered and so changed, that of those first 12 teenagers that Aidan recruited, we can name six of them, 1,500 years later. Such was the impact of lives so changed by the words of the Psalms and the Gospels. How did that happen? Jesus gives the explanation. A man scatters seed in his field, all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. And England changed from the murder capital of Europe to the missionary center. One more story. In the 1980s in Tanganyika, a man called David found a little tract on the road, a tiny booklet with 10 pictures and 10 verses of Scripture designed to summarize the gospel message. 6 years later, a group of Church Missionary Society workers were the first Christians that David had ever met. That is, other than the members of the six churches he had planted in the intervening 6 years. Evidently, some seeds had sprouted. That's quite impressive maths, isn't it? 10 verses of Scripture, 6 years, six churches. We have a whole Bible, don't we? How did that happen? Jesus gives the explanation. Now, it's not hard to find examples of lives changed by the words of Scripture. People in every walk of life, and perhaps each one of us here this morning could illustrate from our own story. But the challenge for me today is to ask myself afresh, in all honesty, am I allowing the power of the words of Jesus to change me now? Aidan's 12 were radicalized, if we can still use that word, by their reading and writing of the Psalms and Gospels. Am I locked away with the Scriptures enough that I might continue to be radicalized by them? Are you? We can get so familiar. Oh, yes, I know this one. But are our hearts tender enough for the seeds to find fertile soil? So that even while we sleep at night and are up and about during the day, all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing and changing us. My prayer in conclusion is simply that these verses would become ever more real to us, that God would make them so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great gift of your words brought to us through the writings of the New Testament. And we honor those whose lives and ministries have brought these words to us through the ages. Give us receptive hearts and minds that your word might have its power in our lives today. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.